Well, good morning. What a joy to see you in church this morning. Praise the Lord. So, we have some really good news. For those of you who love Jackie, we are planning on bringing her to church this month, the last Sunday. Yep. And it would be almost 2 years since she was in church. She's been to death and back a few times, but thank you for your prayers and your support and everything you've done. We will tell you more about it as it goes and what our plans are to get her in safely, and so on and so forth. The good news is our whole family have had COVID. How's that good news? It's good news because we survived, including Jackie. Come on. Yeah? Including Jackie. All right. So we're looking forward to that time. I literally have to talk her down off the ledge because she just wants to get here. She wants to be here. She wants to praise with you. She wants to see you. She said God has given her a powerful anointing to pray for the sick. She says, God has anointed me to pray for the sick. We're going to see signs and wonders and miracles. That's what's coming out of her mouth. Amen. All right, are we ready for this morning? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. So, today is Super Bowl, for those who don't know. And I'm going to draw an analogy between Super Bowl and our life. All right? Now, this is not because I'm a great fan of the NFL, or even watched, especially when they started kneeling. I certainly didn't watch after that. And for those who don't follow the NFL, you know, this, you might go, oh, no. Yeah, well, trust me, the Lord is going to speak to you. And you're going to have a wonderful time today. Are we ready? So I'm going to draw this analogy. See, we are actually in the Super Bowl of life. Jesus is our coach. Jesus is our coach, and the Father is the owner of the team, and the Holy Spirit is a quarterback. Okay? Now, Jesus wants to encourage you, if you have been roughed up in the game of life, you've been beaten up, and you've reached that place where you go, oh, no, I am going to sit out now. I'm going to find myself a bench, and I'm going to get out of the game. Well, you know you can't get out the game until you die. And let's hope that you die in faith, okay? But the Holy Spirit is making calls on the plays in your life. So we are in a Super Bowl of life. And it started with Adam. And he got the ultimate penalty. Took the whole team down with him. And the Saints were losing. Until Jesus showed up at the half and took over as the coach. And now we are in the final quarter, 1 minute to play. How many of you know we got 1 minute to play? Come on, you know in your spirit we got 1 minute to go. Yeah. Who wants to quit when we got 1 minute to go? You don't want to quit. We're going to press through, right? We can see the finish line. It's right there. We're not going to quit and bow down. Hebrews 12 says this. I will find it. It's one of those. Hebrews 12:1. Maybe I start should wear glasses when I start doing my sermon, huh? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The word race, the Greek word is agon, and it's the word from where we get agony, all right? So it's only used 6 times in the New Testament, and 2 of the occasions it is translated as the word fight. One is contention, one is conflict, and one is race. So we are in a conflict. There is contention going on here, but while this is going on, there are people watching us. Amplified Bible says this, since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands. Now, this is going to be the first year when the grandstands are not full. Yeah. But they can put fake people up. You know, I watch soccer from England, and they have got very clever. They actually have sound, crowd sound. And they've got this thing down perfectly. So the team is playing, and they turn up the volume, and the sound, wow, it's good, all like this, so they feel like there's a crowd out there. Maybe it's going to be like that today. But we're in the Super Bowl of life, and we are being watched by a crowd of people in your life as to how you handle the problems. How are you coping with the problems? You may not know this, but you're a fish in a bowl. People are looking at you, want to know how you're coping with this, especially if you've testified to them about you being a Christian. Then they want to see how you deal with the fact that you lost your job, or you deal with the fact that you've got these problems in your life that are going on, right? And they want to know about it. So, here we go. I'm going to give you a couple of ideas about it. We have been chosen to play. Love that. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. How many of you played sport when you were younger? Maybe school, college, okay? How many of you were anxious about being chosen for the team? You wanted to be part of the team. Put me in the team, coach. You want to be part of the team, right? And they start to call the names as who's going to be in the team, and you wait anxiously, and you get more nervous and more nervous because your name is not being called. And then you get called last, but you get called. Now, I'm not asking those people to put their hand up who were called last. The big thing is you got to play, right? You got to play in the team. That's what's so important. Well, here's the thing is this. You don't have to shout now, put me in the game, coach. You're actually in the game. You're in the game. And you know what? The coach has chosen you for this Super Bowl. This is your game right here, right now. You're on. Amen? We're playing. We're going to win this game in Jesus' name. Now, you have been equipped and you've been trained. Might not feel like it, but you really have been. You see, you're actually very highly trained. You know, no one makes it to the Super Bowl without going through extensive training. They've got to be really fit. They've got to be really strong to get there. And guess what? Nobody gets to the Super Bowl by accident. You actually get there because you've had a winning season. Winning, winning, winning. That is how you get to the Super Bowl. Well, you're in the Super Bowl. Turn and tell somebody you're a winner. You're a winner. Hallelujah. I didn't say whiner. I said winner. Ephesians 4:11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So the fivefold ministry has been given to equip you, to build you up. And if you've been around long enough, you have been equipped. Certainly if you've been through the Bible college here at the Promise, you have been equipped. Your life has changed. It is not what it used to be. And if you check your equipment list, you've probably found out that you've got a helmet, like they do, helmet of salvation. You probably found out that you've got some padding on you, like the breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. And maybe the shield of faith. But you have been padded up. And you also have shoes, just like they do. But your shoes are the preparation of the gospel. Amen. And you know what? You have a playbook as well. The Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's the plan we're following. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, you know, everyone takes a loss of yardage sometime. Everybody. And Satan has been throwing everything he could at you, including the kitchen sink. The reason is he wants to stop you moving forward in God. He wants to stop you and the assignment God has given you. He wants to stop your personal progress. So he's thrown sickness at you, discouragement, financial problems, marital problems, relationship problems, arguments, dissension, storms, unforgiveness, people hurt you. All these things Satan has been throwing at you because he wants to retard your progress. He wants to slow you down. If at all possible, he wants you to get out of the game. And listen, apart from all of those things he throws at you, he also throws temptation at you. He brings temptation to try and get you to sin because he's trying to knock you out of the game. He's trying to hit you out of the game. Listen to Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholds him with his hand. And the Amplified Bible says, the Lord grasps his hand in support and upholds him. Satan wants to hit you. He wants to take you down. And if you've taken a hit and you've lost yardage, that doesn't mean you're out of the game. Satan wants to make you think that he's taken you out. Yeah, and it's not true. In fact, this whole game is about trying not to fall while other people are trying to throw you to the ground. Trying to stay on your feet and not take a knee. Because once you've taken the knee, end of play. Just say. Depends on who you're worshiping. For believers, we take the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not the end of play, it's the beginning of play. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. And you know what? If you fall, somebody in your team is going to give you a hand and pick you up. That's why we're here. Amen? That's why we're here. You see, falling is not fatal. Say that with me. Falling is not fatal. Say, falling is not final. That's why I have friends. Turn to the person next to you and say, will you be my friend? Hallelujah. Now, apart from losing yardage, everybody drops the ball sometimes. It doesn't matter if you're the best player in the NFL. There's times when you drop the ball. You fumble and you drop the ball. But you know what? You don't get thrown off the team because that happens unless you keep doing it, in which case you'd never make it to there. All right? But just like they fumble, and there will be fumbles today, Christians mess up. Christians fumble the ball, and they drop the ball. And it does cause sometimes people to lose yardage. But here's the bigger problem. When we do mess up, we can feel like we've let ourselves down, we've let our family down, we can feel like we've let the Lord down. And you know what? Satan is going to make you feel condemned constantly, as long as he possibly can. Because if he can get you in that depressed condemnation and get you feeling down, you'll have difficulty coming to church. You'll have difficulty praying. You'll have difficulty worshiping God. You need to believe that you're forgiven when you ask for forgiveness. Thank God there's repentance. What a great gift it is, and the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. Listen to this scripture, 1 John 2 and verse 1. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, hallelujah, the one who is truly righteous. And then in 1 John 1:9, we have this great scripture. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we mess up, the coach goes to the owner of the team. And says, don't let them go. Keep them. Hold them. I can work with them. There's potential in them. We can make this thing work. I have faith in them. I believe they can do it. I believe so much in them that I've put them in the team. You're in the team because the coach believes in you. And so if you do mess up, he still believes in you. He still believes you've got great potential. And he goes to the Father and he says, keep them in the team. Don't let them go. We've got the Holy Spirit working on them. We'll do a couple more exercises. You know, we'll work through some things with them. They'll come out of it. I believe they will come out of it. Amen? I believe they will. Now, anybody who's ever played a sport, you play against an opponent. As you will see today, if you watch Super Bowl, there are two teams playing, all right? You have an opponent. His name is the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the condemner, the liar. He is against you. And he and his demonic forces, as I've already said, are trying to stop your progress as you walk with God. He's trying to hold you back. He's trying to stop you getting into the Word, praying, being a witness, living for God, going to Bible college, coming to church, worshiping and praying. He's trying to do everything he possibly can to stop you. You had a tough time this morning stopping people praising. Amen. But he tries. He does his best to stop you from moving forward in God. We have an opponent. And you know this. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against people. We're wrestling against principalities and powers. There's evil spirits behind it. When someone says something nasty to you, be just alert and just be sensitive to the fact, you know what? You were inspired to say that. Yeah, you were inspired to say that. You're trying to shoot a dart at me, but I know where it's coming from. Don't look at the person who said it. Don't look at the person that said it. They yielded themselves. They yielded themselves. Yeah. Remember when Peter said to Jesus, no, you're not going to go and be crucified. You're not going to die. Far be it from you. And Jesus turned and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You're not saying the things that are of God. He recognized that Satan at that point was speaking through Peter. And Peter had just said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah. It just shows you. So even, listen carefully now, even Christians can yield themselves and be used to bring hurt and to say some ugly things to you because they yielded themselves at that moment. You have to look past it. And you know, the thing is this. Actually, it's not really the world that hurts us as much as those that are close to us. Because their words are weighty. And if they say things that hurt, they just you know, be careful because you have to recognize who's influencing them. But then don't respond and saying, ha, Satan is using you right now. Don't do that. Don't do that because Satan will be using you right then. First Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. So you've got to recognize the devil's coming against you. You've got to recognize this in the Super Bowl of life. He's coming against you. You have to resist him. You have to stand against that sickness. You have to stand against those arguments. You have to stand against that unforgiveness. Don't let it get root in your heart. You're supposed to have peace in the midst of trouble, Jesus said so. So in chaos, as we sang today, even in the midst of chaos and trouble and everything that's going on, we remember your unchanging love. You remember God's love. Remember God chose you for the team. Then we have the Holy Spirit as the quarterback. Amen, amen, hallelujah. In Romans 8 and 26, Scripture says, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us. Say, the Holy Spirit helps me. Say it one more time. The Holy Spirit helps me. In our weaknesses, He helps me in my weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. We have a helper. The Holy Spirit helps us. We have a helper, and He is calling plays in your life. He knows the future, and He's calling plays. He's saying, go there, don't do this, stop here, move forward ahead here. He's telling you what to do. If you'd listen, He will guide you. I must tell you this. The most devastating things that have ever happened in my life is when I heard the call, I heard the play, and I didn't play it. I didn't listen. I did my own thing. And I admit that to you with great sorrow that I didn't listen. The Holy Spirit is faithful. He will talk to you. He doesn't want you to end up in trouble. He doesn't want you to end up in a situation where you marry the wrong person. He doesn't want you to end up in trouble. You're going to end up in the wrong job and you have tremendous problems. Listen, the Holy Spirit's on your side and He is making plays and calling plays. Now, when the quarterback throws you the ball, He has given you an assignment. He's given you an assignment. The assignment is move down the field. Isn't that the truth? You got the ball, move the ball down the field. Move down the field. You must understand something. The assignment is very, very important. It's very, very important in your life. Because see, as we sit here right now, I would venture to say that most of you do not know what your current assignment is. You don't know. In fact, you don't even know if you've got the ball, which is the assignment. You don't know. And remember this, you get sometimes new assignments every day, but sometimes you get an assignment that'll take a week or a month to do. We have a long-term assignment to disciple people, that's true. But you also have daily assignments. Are you listening to me? You have daily assignments where the Lord will speak to you and give you something to do. So, what might happen is the Holy Spirit might give you the ball, just give it to you, and expect you to run with the ball through the defensive line, which is a wall of men that are 7 feet tall and weigh 350 pounds. That's when you take the ball and give it back to the quarterback. You run. But He gave you the ball because He thought you could get through the wall. He gave you the assignment. He says, run. Not this way, that way. Run towards the touchdown line. That's where you got to go. So, God asks you to do something. Gives you an assignment. And immediately He gives you the assignment. You run into a wall. You run into opposition. You would think, God, if you ask me to do this, it's going to be plain sailing. They're just going to open up in front of me. And I'm just going to run right through. Like the Red Sea. Here we go. And drown my enemies behind me. In the meantime, enemies rush in. And now God is saying, go through it. Go through it. Go through it. Are you listening to me? Listen to me. Listen to me. Go through it. Go through it. This is not the time to drop the ball. This is the time to hold on to the assignment as tight as you possibly can. Why? Think about this. If the quarterback throws you a short ball or a long ball, it doesn't matter. What is the opponent trying to do? What's he going to do first? He's going to try and stop you getting the assignment. He's going to try and intercept the assignment. He wants to stop the ball getting to you. Do you understand God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to get assignments to you, and your enemy is trying to stop you getting the assignments? He wants to intercept it. He wants to knock it down. And my Lord, if you get the assignment and you grab hold on it, the next thing he says, okay, I missed stopping the assignment getting to you. Now I'm going to take you down. I was going to use another word, but we're in church. He's going to take you down. Right? From every side, they're going to hit you as hard as they can to knock that ball out of your hand, to knock the assignment out of your life, to stop you moving forward. He doesn't let you go just because you got the assignment. Far from it. Because he couldn't intercept it, then he goes for you personally. He attacks you personally. But then there's the long pass, huh? Where you're running. You're out there running. And the quarterback throws. The interesting thing, he doesn't throw where you are. He throws where you're supposed to be. You see, a lot of times in our life, what happens is that we say, God, throw me the ball. And he says, but you're supposed to be there. Give me assignment. The assignment is not for here. The assignment is for over there. Now, if you would move, make some adjustments, and get to the place and the position you're supposed to be in, you would receive the assignment. But because you're here, you can't get the assignment. Spiritually, you have to make some changes. You have to make some adjustments. You have to get tuned in. You have to move to the place where God wants you to be in order for you to receive the assignment. Now, remember this. If he's throwing you a long ball, trying to get the assignment to you, and it's over there, there's a greater risk of it being intercepted. There's a greater risk of you fumbling and dropping the ball. So there's a great risk in what he's done. But the greater the risk, the greater the reward. And so the quarterback decides, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to bring great rewards to the team through you. I'm going to throw you a long ball. I want you to get to the place where you're supposed to be. Because if you'll get to the place where you're supposed to be, great rewards will come to you personally, and also the whole team will benefit from your rewards. So run, baby, run. Get to where you're supposed to be, okay? But you know what happens sometimes in your life? You get yourself into a predicament when the only solution is a Hail Mary throw. A Hail Mary throw. That's desperation. Desperation. It's interesting how they made that term, huh? It's a calling on a Mary to help you. You know that I worked on the ships for 4 years as an auctioneer. And we had a weekly budget, depending each time there was a cruise, a new cruise was a week cruise. We had a revenue meeting. And one particular cruise, it was really bad. It was very, very difficult. Certain group of people were on the ship and they didn't spend any money. So all the revenue managers were talking about how bad things had got. And the one manager asked me, how's it going with you in the art division? I said, well, because I'm a man of faith, right? I said, I've prayed about it. Telling him, he's an unbeliever. I've prayed about it. I believe I'll hit budget. So he says, wow, are things that bad? It's so bad, you actually had to pray? That was like a Hail Mary cruise. But sometimes we get to that place where we have to pray Hail Mary prayers because things have got so bad. Don't say amen, say oh me. Now here's the key. Listen carefully to this. Doesn't matter where you are on the field. Doesn't matter what role you're playing in the field, what position you're playing. You have to keep your eye on the quarterback. Because if he chooses to throw you the ball, if he chooses to give you an assignment, and you're not watching, it's going to hit you in the back of the head. You have to keep your eye on the quarterback. No matter how hard you're running, and you see, this is what happens in life. Life can make you run hard. It can make you so busy that you don't pray. It can make you so busy you don't read the Bible. It can make you so busy you don't even come to church. Listen carefully to me. You have to listen and spend time in God's presence to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit for your next assignment. At this moment, the chances are you don't have the ball. You may have dropped the ball. You may have fumbled the ball. You may not even known that he tried to give you an assignment. But I believe today, God is going to reveal your assignment to you right now. The assignment that you have now, short-term assignment. He's going to reveal it to you. He's going to reveal if you're currently in that assignment, and I believe he's going to give you assignment if you don't have one. Do I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I believe that's going to happen today in Jesus' name. Now listen, the scripture we read said the Holy Spirit's a helper. He's going to help you. So please remember to ask him for help. Even when he gives you an assignment, he doesn't leave you out there. He wants you to succeed. He is there to help you. The coach gave you the Holy Spirit as a helper to help you in this Super Bowl of life that you're playing. Don't try and do it alone. You don't need to do it alone. You have people helping you. It's, you know, when I started watching this game, it's an amazing game because everybody's fighting at the same time, and I couldn't even find out where the ball was. I didn't know because I thought that you only fight the person who's got the ball. You know, the games like soccer that I watch, you have to attack the ball, not the person. And then you certainly can't attack the person who doesn't have the ball. You're a red card. You're out of the game. That is for certain. You're out of the game. But in this game, the harder you hit the person without the ball, the more they cheer you. It's a wicked game. But you know what? When you get given assignment and you start to run, the team that is working with you, they jump in and they run in front of you and they block people trying to tackle you. They do everything in their power to stop the enemy and your opponent from getting to you. It's a team. Turn and tell somebody, I'm part of a team. Amen? We're working together. Can you handle a little more? Because I got more. You know, in soccer, you have one umpire and you have two linesmen. I haven't been able to count how many umpires there are yet in a football team when they play the game. Everybody's running around with black and white striped jerseys. They're everywhere. Everywhere. And they all got handkerchiefs, little things, colors that they throw in. It's like a ladies' meeting. We'll throw our tissues in. Can't figure it out, okay? So how many umpires are there? There's none umpires. They're referees. Okay, it's the same thing. When you get to heaven, you'll find out. Five referees. Today, you're calling them umpires. I declare it. All right. So, do you know that we have been given an umpire? in our hearts. God gave us an umpire in our hearts. And we are, you know, okay, these referees, these umpires, they call when the ball is received, whatever, they call complete, incomplete, in, out, foul. They make all these calls. Well, do you know that you have an umpire in your heart making the same calls? Did you know that? God gave you this umpire, this referee, if you like. Don't want to leave you out. Okay, so let's read Colossians 3:15. And let the peace, that's the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. An Amplified says that word rule is to act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all the questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you are called to live. So, we must obey the peace in our hearts. When we make decisions, our heart is going to tell you, good decision, bad decision. This is a foul. This is incomplete. Don't go down this road. This is not what you want to be doing. This is good. Go ahead and do it. So let the peace, the umpire, direct your decisions. If you're going to make a decision, the interesting thing about it is when you think about making the decision, you just think about it. Your heart feels you've made it. The imagination that you have is as real as if you really did it. You have the emotions of having really done it. So your heart can tell you, if you're planning on doing something, you're thinking about doing something, your heart will immediately tell you, do it or don't do it. Yes or no. Green light, red light. A smooth feeling, a rough feeling. You have in your heart, there's an inner unction that says you have peace if you do it. But when you're thinking about doing it, you go, ooh, I don't feel happy about doing it. That is your inner umpire. That is the referee helping you in your heart. Amen? All right, let me wrap it up. We are a team. We are a team. Romans 12:5 says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We are not independent of each other. We're interconnected to one another. When one hurts, we all hurt. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. You are special, you're unique, and you do your part in the team. It helps the others' parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We work together. Now, just as in the football team, every player, every position is unique. You're chosen to play because of your size, your speed, your strength. These are all things that cause you to be able to play in a certain position, right? Your shape. How big are you? So you're unique. You fit this position because you have all these qualifications that we put you in this position. If you're really fast, can run, whatever it is, we put you here. And you get trained to be that particular person. Well, we are all volunteers in the ministry, and we all have particular size, shape, speed, and strength. These are unique attributes given to us by God so that when we all come together, we make one team. We make one body that works together. And that's why he says, don't let the eye say to the hand, what need do I have of you? Every part brings its own part to the body to make it complete. If we were all the eye, where would the smelling be? Where would the walking be? And so it is in the body. We must remember this. There are many, many volunteers in the body, many volunteers. Okay? So each volunteer has a unique place, unique strength from God. Now, think about this. Think about the difference between those who are working in children's church and those who are in the music. The talents are completely different. Their desires in their hearts are completely different. Or if you compare the guys in the music with the guys who are in the technical group. The guys in the technical group are tremendously trained. They are keyed up in that, and it's awesome what they can do back there. All right? So there's a huge difference. What about public speaking? Not everybody can do public speaking. They're too afraid to do it. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody loves to work with children. But when we all come together as volunteers, guess what? The whole body is blessed and we move forward. Amen? Amen. So we are in the Super Bowl of life together. And when one person gets knocked down, we all feel it. And it doesn't matter. We all need each other for encouragement. These guys in the NFL, they encourage each other all the time. They high five, they bump their chest, they get in the group, they shout together, they huddle and whatever it is. And it's necessary. They're not just doing it for show. You think, well, that's a nice thing for the team to do it. No, you have no idea. You have no idea the strength and the courage that is generated when they come together in the huddle and they say a few words and they tell guys we can do it. It doesn't matter that we're down. We can't pull this thing off. We can do it. And so on. So don't let them get to us. We can do it. And you get up and you go and say, we can do this again. Right? And so this is what church is about. That's why you come on Sunday. So you can huddle together, be encouraged, give a high five to somebody, worship God and forget about your problem and say, we can do it in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. I'm always reminded of the great story of the four friends that brought their one friend to Jesus on this bed. And when they got there, they couldn't get in because of the crowd. And then they got on the roof and they tore open the roof and they let this guy down in front of Jesus. I call that the four rope holders. Three was not enough. Needed four. You needed four committed, loyal friends who had a vision, had an assignment, and got a hold of their one buddy, their buddy, who couldn't make it and said, come on, we can do this. We can help you. We're going to make you our assignment. We're going to get around you and we're going to bring you to Jesus and we're going to drop you in front of Jesus. You're going to be healed. You're going to be saved. You're going to be forgiven. We are bringing you to Jesus. Come on now. Come on. What happens if the four of you relatives that are saved ganged up on the one that isn't? Right? And said, we are going to bring you to Jesus. We are not going to let this thing go by. We're on your side. We know what Jesus can do for you. We're a team. We do this together. The good news is we've already won. We've already won. Praise the Lord. Jesus already defeated our enemy. He defeated our opponent and gained a surpassing victory. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory. So what are we playing for? We're playing for the Super Bowl ring. The Super Bowl ring is the crown of life. The crown of life. According to Revelation 2 and verse 10, Jesus said this, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, and that you may be tested, and that you'll have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now you read that, and you go, whoa, really? Understand something, that is going to happen in the Great Tribulation. All right, that's going to happen in the Great Tribulation. However, as we approach the rapture, we will begin to see these things happening in our lifetime before they become worldwide after the rapture, okay? And significantly cover the face of the earth. But in this verse, I pick up a couple of things that we can apply to ourselves now. Do not fear. Do not fear those things. Do not fear them. You are being tested. There is absolutely no doubt you're being tested. If you're playing in the Super Bowl of life and you get an assignment, the ball gets thrown to you, you're being tested immediately with that assignment. Will you be faithful? Will you be loyal? Will you carry that ball as far as you possibly can? Are you going to quit when things get tough? When you get hit hard by the opponent, are you going to get up and say, that's enough for me. I'm not going to play anymore. And I'm taking my ball with me. Is that what's going to happen? Or are you going to say, wait a minute, I know that I'm going through a test. And I'm not going to quit in Jesus' name. I've got a helper, the Holy Spirit. And I've got a great coach, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to turn to the coach and say, Lord, coach, help me with this thing. Holy Spirit, give me a play. Show me how to get through the situation. I know that you have the answer for me. Amen. And I'm going to be faithful. See the word? Be faithful. You're going to be tested? Be faithful. Don't quit. Even when things get tough, don't quit. And what's going to be the end result? We're going to receive a crown of life. A crown of life, not a Super Bowl ring, as fabulous as that might be, even if you have 10, Tom. If you're not saved, it doesn't mean a thing. If Jesus is not your Lord, I don't care if you get 11. Doesn't matter. We will receive a crown of life. Shout this out loud with me. Shout this out loud. I'm going to win in Jesus' name. Come on, one more time. I'm here to win in Jesus' name. Let's stand on our feet. Come on, stand on our feet. I want to pray for you.